Hello, everyone, and welcome to our program. And we have Daryl Weinberg with us, and Daryl's from Canada, around Toronto, correct, Daryl?
Yeah, we're in Peterborough, Ontario, which is about an hour and a half northeast of Toronto.
Yes, and we wanted to talk to Daryl today about what is going on in Canada. And I know you have quite a bit of news because I saw the email that you sent me this week about some of the things that are going on in even the school systems. Mm-hmm. And Daryl has a Messianic congregation. He leads a Messianic congregation. Daryl, you want to just comment a little bit about yourself?
First of all, it's great to be with you on the show today, Linda, and thanks so much for inviting me on. Our ministry is a Light to the Nations Messianic Ministries. Our website is ALTTNmessianic.com, and our congregation, first congregation anyway, although we intend on planting many more, is Ruach HaEmet Messianic Synagogue, or Spirit of Truth, up here in Peterborough. And so you can once again find us on ALTTNmessianic.com, our Facebook page, Ruach HaEmet, where we broadcast all of our services live and archive the messages. Our ministry is really twofold, Linda. What we want to do is we want to help Jewish people understand that it's perfectly Jewish to believe in Jesus, and as a matter of fact, incumbent upon them to believe in him as the Messiah. I grew up in a Reformed Jewish household. None of my family really had any convictions about anything, although I always did believe in God and did my best to try to figure out who he was. And when I was 25 years old, I just began to start asking why we as Jews didn't believe in Jesus and didn't really have a good answer. And so after a 3-year search and a lot of difficulty in that journey, I came to the realization that Jesus, or Yeshua, was the promised Messiah. And the very first thing the Holy Spirit said to me on the night that I gave my life to him in 1998, he said, you had such a hard time reconciling me and your Jewish identity, now you're going back to your people. And so we established a Light to the Nations back in January of 2012, so we're coming on our 7th anniversary, and the congregation's been going for about 4 years now. But also help Gentiles reconcile to their Hebraic roots and bring everybody back to the middle where it all started from.
Right. Well, very interesting testimony. So can we jump right in and talk about Canada? Because there is so much going on in Canada. And I wanted to do this program. I've been wanting to do this program for a long time about mm-hmm. what's going on in Canada, because we sometimes forget about our northern neighbor, although he's really our brother. We really have a lot of the same things going on in Canada that we have in America. But can you just elaborate and talk about what actually is the current situation in Canada with believers?
Yeah, Canada has always been known as a much more, I would say, liberal country than the United States, although that dynamic has certainly changed over the past, 10 years or so. I think the U.S. has caught up and even surpassed us in some ways. But we never had the Christian foundation that the United States supposedly had. But at one time, the United States was known as light on the hill. It was a beacon of righteousness, and after World War II became by far and away the most powerful nation in history, primarily because of the blessing of God and how the pilgrims had even, and as you're approaching your Thanksgiving now, that the pilgrims had set up the United States to be free from religious persecution, and they in many ways modeled the United States, or attempted to, with the old covenant. And there was even discussion at one time that Hebrew was going to be the language of the United States.
Absolutely. And you know, it's interesting that you bring that up, because that was the basis for the Connecticut law that was put in place. Connecticut law, that was the law that they used to form the Constitution. It was kind of a foundation. So it all played together. From the very beginning, we had this idea that we needed to keep Torah. We've lost all that now. We don't even have knowledge of that. I have a lot of history that I've covered on other programs that talk about how the pilgrims were actually Sabbath keepers. They were Sabbath keepers in Britain, and they were Sabbath keepers when they went into Holland.
Yeah, and so all that to kind of lay a foundation, say Canada was never as such. We didn't start our history with a revolution against the mother country. Technically, the Queen of England is still our head of state.
Yeah.
And the Governor General of Canada, who is the Queen's representative, technically has authority over the Prime Minister, although that would never in reality be exercised. That wouldn't be very practical. But
she couldn't do any worse than what he's doing.
Yeah, well, we'll get into that. But yes, it's so our history is certainly a lot different, and we've kind of settled into where we are. Canada has always had a reputation of being a peaceful country. Our reputation around the world, to this day, is to be a lot more polite and easygoing. More European, I guess, in our makeup than, let's say, the United States is, that has got a distinctly different culture and everything else. Although, I mean, you can't really define what quote-unquote U.S. culture is, because there's so many varieties of it and so many different expressions. But overall, the spiritual makeup of Canada has always been less zealous for God, much more liberal and progressive. And we are certainly seeing that in spades with our current government.
Yeah, Trudeau is very extremely liberal, is he not?
Yeah, he, I would say very much like Obama, that he was brought in with a very specific agenda. And that was to try to destroy Christian influence and culture to the best of his ability. And it's very sad that that is the case. But, you know, it's the apple doesn't fall from the tree. His father, Pierre Trudeau, who was prime minister between 1968 and 1984, when he finally retired, was at one time part of the Communist Party of Canada and switched over to the Liberal Party because, you know, back then, communists couldn't get elected. Now they get elected as liberals.
Well, they just don't call it communist, but that's what it's turned out to be. That's mm-hmm. absolutely what it's turned out to be, and that's going on in our Democratic Party in America also.
Any kind of pretense that it's anything else but communism, I think, is now officially gone.
Yes. So tell us about the school system. That's what I'm really interested in hearing.
It depends on what part of the country you're talking about, because the big fuss right now, especially in homeschooling, now there's a difference between the public school system and homeschool system. Public education right across the country is being attacked in any kind of values, no matter what province you're in. In Ontario, until this past summer, for the past 15 years, the Liberal Party was the governing party. And for the past 4 years, our premier was a committed lesbian. She was actually in a lesbian relationship, left her husband and three kids 20-some-odd years ago and entered into this ungodly relationship. And her agenda had been all along to impose this upon the people of Ontario. 3 years ago, in 2015, they had introduced a very radical sex ed curriculum, and despite the fact that there were mass protests around the province, they went ahead with it anyway. And that curriculum, the primary architect was a man by the name of Ben Levine, who is currently in jail for child pornography offenses. He is a pedophile, obviously. He's the one who designed the curriculum to corrupt the minds of the children. Dictators throughout history, and especially if you look at the 20th century, realize that if you get the minds of the children, they will own the agenda. Lenin, Hitler, Stalin, Mao, they all did the same thing. They went after the school system. They kicked God out of the school system. They imposed this radical agenda. And so this sex ed agenda that we have in Ontario, that was... I wouldn't say it's been completely revoked, because our teachers' union is, of course, very communistic in makeup and very much in favor of this progressivism. And so despite the fact that our new conservative government has pulled the plug on it, there are court fights now going on saying that, well, we're going to continue this and we need to protect the transgenders and all this other malarkey that's been used as propaganda. So
what is in the actual teaching? What are they teaching kids?
They start off in grade one, and that was the primary reason that when my son hit grade one a couple years ago, that we pulled him out of the public school system, and my wife homeschooled for a couple of years. Starting in grade one, they start to teach them things like it's okay to have parents of the same sex, and they progress onto gender fluidity, that you can identify with whatever you want, even at a very early age. I think it's in grade four they started that. And when a child says they identify with the opposite sex, instead of taking to see a counselor, they immediately start hormone blockers and attempt to physically change their sex.
Wow.
By the time you get to grade eight, you're now already starting to talk about anal sex. You're starting to talk about masturbation much earlier than that as well. And so it is an absolute corruption on the minds of the innocent, and goes directly against Proverbs 22:6, which says to train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it.
So this is interesting, because this has got to be devastating to children coming into that kind of environment and being exposed to those kind of teachings. That's got to twist their mind and devastate them.
Well, it causes confusion. And studies show, of course, that suicide rates and attempted and drug abuse and everything else and depression within the gay community is much higher than in the straight community. And it becomes much higher still once you start getting into the transgender community, because Camille Paligula, who is a lesbian author, said that transgenderism is a complete bunch of nonsense. She says, no matter how much surgery you do, you cannot change that. This is a lesbian who says you can't change the DNA of a person.
No, you can't.
If you are born a male with Y chromosomes, it doesn't matter what parts of the body you cut off, and it doesn't matter how many drugs that you take, you still cannot change the fact that there are Y chromosomes in every single one of your cells. And so another blatant lie of the enemy. So that was what was kind of going on in the public school system. But the other issue that we're now facing is in the homeschool community. And in Ontario, we don't really have much of an issue with homeschooling, because the government never really had oversight. Where the big issue is, in the article that I actually sent you a couple of days ago that just came down the pipe, is that in Alberta, out west there, which is just north of Montana, over 50 years, I think, had a conservative government. Well, the people finally got fed up with the arrogance of the conservatives. And in the last election, they voted in the New Democratic Party. Now, the New Democratic Party is the most leftist and liberal of our three main parties. And Rachel Notley, who is the premier, got to work right away with her cabinet to try to undo any kind of commitment or connection to God that they have over there. And where they've run into problems is that the homeschool community is funded by the government. They get government funds. Well, when you feast at the public teat, you have to, of course, march to the government's drum.
Yes.
And so what they're saying now is that they can't teach anything about God. They can't teach anything about Christianity. And if they do so, there have been homeschools that have been shut down because they won't toe the government line. And so there is a war on over in Alberta right now against the Christians, and not faring too well. So that's what's going on in the education community in Canada.
Now, I think I had heard that there was some people put in jail for teaching against Easter and Christmas. Am I right on that? Is that, I don't know if they were jailed or their children were removed.
They were foster parents in Southern Ontario. I think they were down around the Niagara Falls area, somewhere around there. And the Children's Services took the children away from them because they refused to teach about the Easter Bunny.
Wow.
That wasn't biblical. So, you know, the devil's okay with any kind of paganism as long as you just don't teach the truth. That's when you get in trouble.
Yes, that's Daryl. That's absolutely the case. So, so tell us about also, we're going to switch gears a little bit here. So tell us about what's going on with marijuana being legalized.
Yeah. Wow. You know, it's amazing. I as I'm seeing the progressive agenda gaining speed, and Canada became the second nation in the world, I can't remember which one was the first, but certainly by far and away the largest, to legalize smoking pot. Now, medical marijuana or cannabis has been legal for quite a while, but that doesn't have the mind-altering effect of recreational marijuana. And back on October 17th, Canada became the second country in the world to legalize it. So you can have actually up to 4 pot plants in your house, and it is legal to smoke it. Interestingly enough, the Bible translates the word pharmakia, which is where we get pharmaceutical from, the translation is sorcery.
Yeah.
And if you look at pagan religions, like if, you know, famously in Corinth, the Oracle of Delphi, when they used to prophesy, they used to get stoned on drugs hallucinogenic, mind-altering drugs. And that would open up a gateway for some spiritual entity to begin communicating with them. And what we've now done is we've said, hey, now, that's been legal within the pharmaceutical industry for decades. And, you know, the pharmaceutical industry has been responsible for more deaths than even guns in the United States. But you're not allowed to talk about stuff like that.
Yeah, we know that. One of the bigger problems in America is the opioids. And so that's, yeah, very, the scripture talks about how, and it's talking about Ephraim, and, you know, that really represents represents the 10 tribes. When it talks to Ephraim, he's talking to those 10 tribes. And I think it's interesting because he said, you are a drunkard. And, yeah. You know, and you're drunk on new wine. Well, the new wine, I believe, is talking about the drugs. Mm-hmm. Because it's a different kind of wine. It's not the kind of, he's referring to not the normal alcohol that people consume, but a new wine. And he said, you're drunkards. And so that's really in reference to, I think, what's going on today, because it's such a huge drug problem in all of the European and Canada and America. They all have this same problem.
Yeah, we have here in Peterborough, there is a huge opioid crisis. And we've had a lot of overdoses, and it's bad. And so, you know, with the legalization of marijuana now, you have an entire country that, you know, not that people weren't doing it before, but now it's legal to do it, which is just going to encourage it. And it's going to open up all kinds of spiritual doors that, oh boy, like we don't know what the ramifications of this is going to be for years to come, but I can assure you it's not going to be good.
No, it's not going to be good, because now you've got a huge group of people that are a huge element of people in your countries that are on drugs, and they're running their lives on drugs. And that's what's going on in our society today. All of these people now that are on drugs, you know, they're out in the workforce. And they're out in the public, and so, you know, they
live in cars.
Right. Mm-hmm. So you have a different parliamentary process in Canada. I know that you're a very liberal country, which you've talked about. We are becoming that way also. But there's a different process. I mean, you don't have the exact same governmental structure as we have. Can you elaborate with everyone about your government structure?
Well, we're based on the UK parliamentary system. And so the way that works is that in the United States, you've got three branches of government that are designed to have checks and balances. And even within the so you've got the executive, you've got the judiciary, and then you've got the you've got Congress, and within Congress you've got both Congress and Senate kind of balance each other out. The way it works in the parliamentary system is that you vote for the candidate in your riding, and so we have three main parties. And the party that forms the most seats in the House, they form the government. So if they have a majority, which the Liberals do have, then the leader of that party automatically by default becomes the Prime Minister. We don't vote directly for our Prime Minister. We vote on the party. And so sometimes we're kind of caught in a dilemma. We may have a very good candidate in the riding to vote for, but the leader of this party is a schnook. And so
yeah, that's really unusual. You don't get to vote for your president, your prime minister. I think that just blows me away that you don't vote for your prime minister. I can't imagine that going on in America. That would be riots in the streets. You know, that's amazing that you don't vote for your prime minister. So it's very similar to England, except that I think England does vote for their prime minister, don't they? Or is that works exactly the same?
No, it works the same in England, and it works the same in Israel. Israel also has a parliamentary system. But what makes them different, in Italy, the same thing. What makes those countries different is that they've got dozens of parties that are running, and so what you end up having are coalition governments. They never have a majority government. So what happens is the party with the most seats, they have to cobble together a coalition with other parties, and that's what we would call a minority government. We've had those in the past, although it's not as common here, because you've only got basically three main parties that are jockeying for power. The United States actually is unique as far as I know. I don't know of any other country that has your system of governance.
Yes, it's very unique in that we elect both houses. And so it's interesting because there's one group that is elected. That's like your House of Commons, and the other right. group that is not elected.
Yeah, the Senate. See, in the UK, you've got the Parliament, and then you've got the House of Lords. And the House of Lords is supposed to very much like what you have in the United States. So Congress will come up with a law, and then the Senate has to approve it. In the UK, the House of Lords is an appointed position, but it's not paid. So it's a volunteer position. So you've got the Prime Minister, Theresa May in this case, who would appoint this person, you know, famous, whatever the case may be. In Canada, not only does the Prime Minister appoint the senators, but they're also paid. But they very rarely does the Senate actually oppose the will of Parliament. There's been a handful that I can think of cases, and you know, over the past 30 years that I've been following it, where the Senate has actually said, "No, you need to change this, or you need to we're not going to pass this law because that would be deemed as, you know, defying the will of the people." And it wasn't necessarily the people that wanted this to begin with.
We will return to Setting History Straight after this commercial break. Where are the Israelites today? Are they still alive? On Setting History Straight, we answer that question and many other questions about biblical history. For more information about this broadcast, please visit our website at www.12tribehistory.com. That is the number 12tribehistory.com, or email us at lwatson44@cox.net. with any questions or comments. We now return to Setting History Straight with Linda Watson.
So now, in America, you have the concentration of the Liberal Party or the Democratic Party in the large cities. And everywhere else, it's basically conservative. And mm-hmm. So is that similar to what is going on in Canada? Do you have your concentration of Liberals in the cities, and then you have areas outside of the cities that's mainly conservative groups? And is most of the people in Canada liberal?
I would say that more of the people in Canada are liberal, although it does tend to be that urban areas are more liberal in makeup than the rural areas. But Peterborough, it's a small city. It's only about 80,000 people. And it is a very blue-collar city in makeup. And so, yeah, it's they vote very left over here. as opposed to Toronto, and the greater Toronto area has over 6 million people in it. So you definitely have more of a liberal makeup there because more immigrants end up there, and you know, they're more attracted to social welfare policies.
So now your country doesn't have a large amount of immigrants, or am I wrong?
Oh, no, we have a huge amount of immigrants. Toronto is considered to be the most multicultural city in the world, even more so than...
Wow.
Yeah, it's the Caucasian minority is long past, or a majority, rather.
Immigrant makeup is made up of a lot of Muslims, or is it made up of generally different nationalities of people like in America?
Toronto has the largest Italian population outside of Italy in the world.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, there's over 700,000 Italians in Toronto. Little Italy has been known for decades as being a place to go. We have well over 500,000 Chinese in Toronto. There's a huge Indian community. And the difference between the way Canada is made up and the U.S., although certainly if you go to places like New York, you certainly have these enclaves of cultural, you know, dynamics. The United States was modeled more as a melting pot where everybody came over and it was America first. You didn't have, even I would say up until about 20 years ago, so you didn't have the whole idea of hyphenated Americans. You were an American first, and, you know, wherever you came from, you kind of ditched that, and your focus was on being an American now.
Right.
It's always been hyphenated Canadian, so you were a Canadian Indian, or you were Canadian Chinese, it's more of a mosaic as opposed to a melting pot where we had this patchwork. So if you go to Toronto, you've got Little Italy, you've got Little India, you've got Little Portugal, you've got... you go up to the city of Brampton, and it's a huge Indian community up there. They call it Bramladesh as a joke. You've got Jewish community in Toronto, unlike most of the Jewish communities in the United States, is very, very concentrated in one area of the city. So you have much more cultural identification, and it leads to without wanting to use a derogatory term, but the ghettos.
Yeah.
You know, the original term ghetto actually came from the Jewish community living in Venice, Italy, where they were, you know, off in one area, and that's what it became known as.
Yeah. Oh, then that's interesting. So, what about your population of Muslims?
Well, it's growing. I mean, Justin Trudeau converted to Islam about 3 years ago. He said the Shahada at a mosque, and I think it was in Quebec that he did that. He has been very, very vocal about his anti-Christian and pro-Muslim bias. And so, you know, we're bringing in refugees just like Obama did, and the deep state is doing down the United States. And
yes.
The whole idea of bringing in all of these Muslim quote unquote refugees, we do have families that have come in, even in Peterborough, there's a lot of Syrian families that have come in. You know, listen, we don't want to be unnecessarily heartless. What the Syrians are going through is horrendous with the civil war that's been going on there.
Yes, I know.
But at the same time, the Muslim migration that was primarily funded by George Soros and the elite is an attempted overthrow of the Western culture, because unlike the immigrants of the past, whether it be Italians who were Catholic, I mean, so, you know, they were nominally Christian anyway, or Jewish people, and they're You know, the Jewish people just wanted a place to stay without being persecuted and getting kicked out of any country. The Muslims have no intention of integrating. They want to bring their culture, because the whole Muslim faith is about dominance and overthrowing of Western Christian ideals. And so what the globalists, what the elite are doing, is they are using the Muslims to undermine Christian cultures so that they can put in their one world government.
You know, I could absolutely see that. So is there anything else in specific we would like to talk about with Canada? We have all kinds of stuff going on over here. And, you know, y'all seem to be at much more peace than we are. You know, that's just what I see. That's what I perceive. Maybe that's not the case.
Well, I think, one of the reasons why that perception might be is because with the Second Amendment and the proliferation of guns, you have a much more violent culture in the United States. You know, Thomas Jefferson, his primary purpose in adding the Second Amendment was to fight back against a tyrannical government, which is basically what you've got, what you had going under the Obama administration. And God help you if the Democrats ever get in again. Yes. But, you know, now that they're full on stealing elections, as we saw with the Arizona Senate race, and they're trying to do the same thing in Florida right now, you're going to end up with a communist government and a totalitarian government. I mean, it's a done deal. It's only a matter of time, because you cannot fight against this. The only way that the United States and Canada can fight against this is by coming back to God and allowing Him to fight the battles for us.
That's what our entire program is about. It's about turning back and returning back to our original roots.
We have to perform teshuvah. We have to return back to God. And allow Him, because anytime Israel went into apostasy and into idolatry, there was usually a hostile nation around the corner that was waiting to lay a thumping on them. Under David and Solomon, you had Israel at its zenith of power, and they were feared around the world. As a matter of fact, you don't have any record in the Bible of Solomon ever going to war. David fought all the wars, subdued all the other nations when they were obeying God. But when Solomon turned from God and allowed paganism, and, you know, the kingdom split, and then it was war after war after that, and eventually both Israel and Judah got taken into captivity. The United States was founded on biblical principles. And so, as Jonathan Cahn said in the Harbinger, that the reason why judgment is coming to the United States more so than other countries who may be more wicked is because those other countries never claimed to belong to Yahweh.
And so that's exactly right. That's exactly what I see also. And so you've made a promise and you're not keeping it. And it, you know, most of the people that came into America originally were called out. They were called out of their other countries to come here. People don't recognize that. And it's not any different than the Israelites crossing across the Red Sea, as our people in Europe and Britain crossing across the Atlantic, which was the same identical process of coming to this country. They went into a called out area. And so, yes, they're held responsible for more. And so that's why I believe that there's more destruction. It's going to be double punishment for America. Yeah. I believe that's what we'll see. And even though many of the European countries, you know, are extremely more liberal and pretty much have lost all light, there's hardly any light there. I'm talking spiritually.
Well, in Canada, I would say is the same thing. I have relationship with one politician, one who's running for politics, and we talk about this stuff all the time. And if Trudeau has his way, all vestiges of Christianity will be gone, very much like the Democratic Party. I mean, they're, you know, listen, Dr. Michael Ake in the Shariath Imperative, which Shariath is the Hebrew word for remnant, he says that the way Lucifer runs, the way his kingdom runs, is based on iniquity. So the more sin there is in society, the stronger he gets and the more power he has. When people turn back to God and they repent and they start following the commandments, the less power he has and the less influence he has. Well, as the United States has now surpassed 70 million abortions since Roe versus Wade, since gay marriage was introduced, the more you do these things, the more God takes his hand of protection off and the more the evil one has access to get in there. And so you've got two communist countries, Russia and China, and, you know, let's not put ourselves, although Putin probably fears God more than Obama did.
Right.
He's still trying to resurrect the Soviet Empire. You've got China now, which is taking over the lead in the world, and they're both sitting at the U.S. doorstep with vast armies.
Yes, they are.
You've got tons of U.N. troops that are of Chinese and Russian origin, and they're just waiting for the signal to go. So,
yes. And we're being told that actually that we've been told through Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck actually brought that out. He's mm-hmm. brought it out more than once, saying that China and Russia are preparing for war with America.
Yeah.
And that's not being told to the people in America. It won't be just them that goes down. I mean, when it goes down, it's all 12 tribes.
Yeah.
And so that's how the Father's going to do the next one. It's not going to be that one of these countries gets missed. They're all mm-hmm. going down at the same time because it's a rise of foreign nations that are godless. That's going to come down on top of us because we've been spiritually asleep.
Yeah. And I think that with what we're setting up in Canada here and the hostility toward Christianity, you're going to see the same thing. Now in Ontario, we've had a bit of a reprieve. We have a conservative government. Doug Ford, who is the premier, is a man of more sense. He's not a Christian, but I think he's a God-fearer. A lot of this ridiculousness, this foolishness that we were dealing with under Kathleen Wynne government and Dalton McGuinty for the past 15 years is he's going to try to reverse. And we've got some very vocal people who are trying to pull that back. But I fear for this country. I mean, we've never been all that favorable to Christianity, and certainly in my lifetime. And around the world, we're seeing that we are becoming a minority and a persecuted minority. I fear for what's going to happen in society. We don't fear for ourselves. We're waiting for our ticket out of here. But, you know, when it comes to my family and when it comes to what's going to happen with society, these people have no idea what they're invoking.
Yes. I tell you what, I really enjoyed this program. The last thing that you want to share with people, is there the thing that you would like everyone to know? Last
word. Sure. I think that the message that I think that we all need to be aware of is like the writer of Ecclesiastes said at the end, fear God and keep his commandments. And there is an awakening in the hearts of some people here in Canada to not only re-embracing our Christian roots, but our Hebraic roots as well. We've got a door that's beginning to open up for us to maybe get a work started in Niagara Falls area. Our vision and desire is to see a Messianic community center in the city of Toronto and plant a number of congregations. And I think that there is a heart for that. God is opening up a door for us to do a Passover, community Passover Seder in Toronto, and we're going to have 500 people out for that. I'm believing God for 500 people. I don't think there's ever been a Passover that large in Toronto before. And it's going to be a Hezekiah-type Passover, where in 2 Chronicles 30, the whole country came and celebrated, and even some people from Ephraim that had already been gone into exile in Assyria, they came down. After that, they went over and started tearing down the altars and the idols. And I think that if we start focusing on God's appointed times and we start getting back to Torah and, you know, encouraging our Christian brethren out there to consider the feast days and consider the commandments, you're going to see God do some amazing things. And so just continue to lift us up in prayer. I believe that, you know, we are certainly an end times ministry. God has led me to pray to be like the sons of Issachar, who understood the times and knew what Israel needed to do. And yes. I believe that we need to understand the times. And God has led me on a journey of studying the alternative media and being aware of what's going on for the past 15 years, because we got to know what's going on out there. We got to know what the enemy is doing and pray that God would keep us two steps ahead of them. And so we're excited about this. And I think that if we continue to pray, the Father would open up doors for us and give us partnerships, that we might see some kind of revival before it all comes crashing down on us.
Yes, I believe that too. Well, that would be amazing. I'm glad to hear about what you have planned for in the future. So with that, thank you so much for coming on, Daryl. I really do appreciate all the information that you've shared with us. This is a very sobering message, because I wanted people to know what was going on in Canada, their brother, because they are suffering many of the same things we're suffering in the United States. Mm. And we're going to have you on again, Daryl, when you have a specific topic you want to talk about. If we'll just kind of plan that in the future, if you'd like to do that. And sure. We're going to say blessings to all and good night.
Where are the Israelites today? Are they still alive? On Setting History Straight, we answered that question and many other questions about biblical history. For more information about this broadcast, please visit our website at www.12tribehistory.com. That is the number 12tribehistory.com, or email us at lwatson44@cox.net. with any questions or comments.